Welcome into the week one edition of the Waiver Wire Fantasy Football Podcast with Nate Geary and Derek Kramer. This episode brought to you by Batavia Downs. Try 1 week fantasy football at FanDuel.com/34Rush. Derek, week one officially started on Thursday night, but the real action picks up this week, tomorrow being Sunday. What are your outlooks? And I would like to get into some stardom sit-ems with you, but maybe a player that you're specifically looking for this week to stand out in standard scoring and PPR leagues.
I'm looking at that Oakland-New Orleans game, and if I'm a fantasy owner of any of the players in both of those teams, I'm licking my chops. Like, this could go 30-something to high 20s. We're talking like 35-28. This could hit 40-30, something like that. This game has all the looks of that offensive shootout, and I would love it if I have a Derek Carr, an Amari Cooper, a Michael Crabtree on the Oakland side. On the Saints side, if you have Brandon Cooks, you have Drew Brees, you have Mark Ingram, you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is going to be fun.
Well, Derek, let's not wait any longer. Let's hop right into our stardom sit-ems for week one. Obviously, as we mentioned, Denver and Carolina game already over, so you know who to start sit for that one. If you bench C.J. Anderson, you're probably hating yourself. And if you started Cam Newton, probably not the exact game you were hoping for week one, especially after the first half you saw from Cam Newton. I saw big numbers being thrown around for Cam after that first half, but the Denver defense really stifled Carolina really from that point on. But as far as stardoms go, this week for me at the quarterback position, Derek, I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger as my stardom candidate, mostly without the presence of Le'Veon Bell. I see this being a very pass happy team. Now, I know they're pretty comfortable using D'Angelo Williams as their primary back, but I just don't see him having the same type of. Now, he did last year had a nice impact on the running game when Le'Veon Bell was out for the season. However, he's no Le'Veon Bell, so I say they're probably going to start off passing quite early and often, facing a Washington team. I could see them getting down early to that Washington team, which even presents a better opportunity to see a lot of yards and potentially touchdowns from Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that, I mean, you're going to start him. It's as simple as that. I like Ben Roethlisberger in any and all leagues. He's a guy that I would say is matchup proof almost. And, you know, outside of him being banged up, which happens every year, that's when I would contemplate sitting him. But yeah, Roethlisberger against Washington, that game is just going to be all sorts of a shootout, just like the one that I mentioned with Oakland and New Orleans. I think that Roethlisberger is absolutely going to be one of those guys that if you got him,
you got him, play him.
If you got him, don't move him. My stardom is going to be a little more of an under-the-radar guy. To the person who went running back receiver heavy, next thing you know, you got some so-so quarterbacks. This one's for you. I think that there are a lot of second-tier quarterbacks that have some really good matchups this week, a la a Tyrod Taylor and Eli Manning. My stardom here, Matthew Stafford against Indianapolis. Why? Stafford may be erratic, and yes, he just lost Calvin Johnson. Those aren't necessarily what I'd call recipes for fantasy success, but Indianapolis is a tire fire on defense. They don't have cornerback Vontae Davis, which is huge. Davis is probably one of the more underrated players in the entire league, and let alone at the cornerback position. I think he's a top five guy. That's how well he plays. He's not in. Stafford's going to find his guys. And Eric Ebron is healthy, so you even have a tight end at full capability to use.
Yeah, I mean, I think the underrated pickup of the season is Marvin Jones for that team. Then I also toss in an Anquan Boldin, who I think is the perfect type of receiver for success to see with Matt Stafford, because as you mentioned, his erratic nature, he is kind of all over the place. And what you see from Boldin is what he's always been able to do over the course of his career, is get the ball and go up and get it at its highest point and beat guys out for that ball. He'll continue to do that even though he's a bit older now than he used to be when he was successful, but Yeah, no, I like Stafford because I know in my league he's currently a free agent on the market. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a fall from grace from a guy who passed for 4,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns just 3 years ago. So this is someone that I see potentially, if he's a candidate for your league, if you have a two-quarterback league, a 10-team two-quarterback league, I think he's definitely a start for you, no doubt. But even if maybe, like you, as you mentioned, Derek, you're a team that went running back and wide receiver heavy early, he's definitely a guy that I would look at starting as well, so good pick there. As far as my sit-em candidate, my sit-em candidate's going to move to the to another 1 o'clock game, and this one is going to be Philip Rivers for San Diego. You know, this is a guy that I think has been a pretty much a fantasy mainstay for the past five or six seasons. But week one, I'm sitting him against a Kansas City defense that I think is going to be pretty good this year. They still don't have it; they're not exactly at full strength. You know, they've got some guys out, but I think this is still a Kansas City defense that's to be reckoned with. I think this is a Kansas City team that is going to be, you know, a team that, I mean, I don't suspect them starting off 0-7 or 0-6 like they did last year and then going on a crazy 9-10-11 win streak like they did last year. But this is a team that I think has the capability of winning the West, and I think it starts this week. I just don't see, with the loss of Stevie Johnson for San Diego, you know, this is, it's going to be a tough run this year. They did get Kelvin Benjamin.
Travis Benjamin.
They did acquire Travis Benjamin in the offseason from Cleveland. He's going to be a guy I think that helps them, but I think he was really meant for that third receiver role. Now he's going to be thrust into that second receiver role. I'm not super optimistic about Philip Rivers this year on a whole, but week one for sure, I'm sitting him.
I can see the Rivers thing. I absolutely can. And he actually is in my sit-ems on the Fantasy Quarter article on WGR550.com. He is under the sit-ems that I have there. My big sit-em is Andy Dalton. Dalton was a guy we saw rise to fantasy prestige last season, but he faces the Jets, and the Jets are very merciless when it comes to your fantasy football players. They don't care about fantasy football. They don't like your fantasy football. That defense is there to smother who is across of them, and that this week is Dalton and the Bengals. I have Dalton on my sit-em list and my sit of the week on WGR550.com.
So there we go. We've got a couple of sit-ems and stardoms at the quarterback position. Let's move on to the stardoms for running backs this week. My guy, Jeremy Langford, and it's specifically matchup based. The Browns facing off against the Houston Texans, who last year struggled on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, J.J. Watt, if he plays, won't be at 100% for Houston. Jadeveon Clowney is going to have, I think, a much bigger role for that Houston defense this year. I think, as you mentioned, this could be a game that may, you took Chicago in our selections of during Sports Talk Saturday. However, I see Houston winning this game, but I think Jeremy Langford is going to really take that Matt Forte role, a guy that can both contribute in the pass and run game. I think I like Jeremy Langford this week as your stardom, maybe a guy that's your RB3 or RB4 if you've got a nice deep squad at running back. So Jeremy Langford, my stardom of the week.
Yeah, my stardom of the week is going to be Seattle Seahawks running back Christine Michael. Michael was a guy that, you know, he has been named the starter over Thomas Rawls. He's facing Miami, and the Dolphins have never been known as a good defense. As of late, they have been terrible at defending the run, especially. I think that Christine Michael is a guy that people are going to enjoy having him in their lineup because of the fact that he was a preseason revelation, and then he earned himself the starting role right now while Thomas Rawls is trying to get himself healthy. As for my sit-em, I unfortunately put on the fantasy corner that it was C.J. Anderson. A lot of people probably got burned by that advice. So that one is going to be my apologies there.
Yeah, I know in my league, the owner of C.J. Anderson, my league, he was on his bench. So I know he's hurting from 29 points on the bench in standard PPR scoring leagues. That's a difficult one to swallow week one. My sit-em this week, a guy on my roster I plan on sitting as well, Jeremy Hill, running back Cincinnati. You mentioned your sit-em at quarterback being Andy Dalton. But for me, the reason I'm sitting Hill isn't because of the presence of Gio Bernard, rather the presence of the New York Jets defense, which I think, even though I see them as a team taking a step back, their defensive, especially their front seven with Sheldon Richardson coming back this year, and obviously Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson, this is a front seven I think that could potentially be one of the best in the league. So I don't see it going well for Jeremy Hill. And as much as I like Cincinnati in the game, I just think the front seven probably stifles up that run game a bit more than usual. Jeremy Hill, my sit-em at the running back position. Now to wide receiver, stardom. A guy also on my roster who will be starting in my flex position is wide receiver DeSean Jackson from the Washington Redskins. We spoke a little bit about the stardom for me at the quarterback position, which is Ben Roethlisberger. Same game here. I think that they're going to come out swinging. I think what I like about Jay Gruden's offense in Washington is their willingness to get the ball to their best receivers. I think it's beyond last year, DeSean Jackson struggled at the beginning of the season, mostly because he wasn't out in the field playing. He came in around week 11 or 12. This was a guy that I think ultimately ended up being one of the best fantasy receivers in the league, much like Sammy Watkins missed some time, but when was healthy, an obvious starter for, at a point last year, I thought a wide receiver one candidate. So interesting stuff there. I see DeSean Jackson being a stardom candidate this year or this week for your fantasy team.
I'm not thrilled on Jackson only because of the fact that I've never seen a wide receiver rely so much on the big play to be relevant in fantasy, and it seems to work. I'm not going to question that. My stardom, though, is a guy in Detroit, Golden Tate. I had Stafford as my stardom for the quarterbacks. Tate is a guy that he's not going to have Vontae Davis facing him. He was sneaky good with Calvin Johnson last year, and now he's wide receiver one. This means a big year for Golden Tate. This is going to be off to a great start. Other players that I would like in this one that I mentioned on WGR550.com, Michael Crabtree of Oakland, wide receiver two. I'm not going to say anything about Cooper. You're playing Cooper most times than not. And the other one is Dante Moncrief against Detroit. Detroit secondary is not really all that great either. So those are a couple guys that I like there at wide receiver.
All right, so the sit-em candidate at wide receiver for me, this one's going to be an umbrella pick for me, but it's going to be any Minnesota wide receiver. Obviously, we know with the injury to Teddy Bridgewater, it takes a hit for the fantasy value of a lot of the Minnesota wide receivers, Stephon Diggs, guys like that, and even Kevin Rudolph. Obviously, that's a tight end position, but just pass catchers in general. Sean Hill gets the start this week over Sam Bradford. Maybe when Bradford gets back and can build a rapport with some of those Minnesota wide receivers, you'll see me come off my stance there. But Minnesota wide receivers have to be a sit-in this week for you. And unfortunately, for a lot of people who drafted a Minnesota receiver before the injury to Teddy Bridgewater, obviously you're expecting big things, I think, from a guy like Stephon Diggs, as I just mentioned. I think you're gonna have to reel back your expectations a bit for the Minnesota guys, especially a guy like Stephon Diggs.
Speaking of Minnesota, my sit is going to be Tajay Sharp, a guy that has been very prominent in the bottom of drafts, a guy that has come onto the scene. Don't put him in just yet. Minnesota's got a great defense. They're not going to be any sort of issues with stopping Sharp or any of the other Titans wide receivers. I would hold off on starting Tajay Sharp just yet in your lineups because of that. Other ones that I mentioned on the fantasy corner, Steve Smith and Jarvis Landry against Seattle. That's a bad one. Steve Smith against Baltimore. That's a great secondary that Buffalo's rocking. And Seattle, you know, the Legion of Boom is going to try to shut down anything and everything they can.
True that, my friend. Now let's move on to the tight end position, where I have a guy who in my league currently is a free agent, and this is a stardom candidate I think that could potentially have a nice bounce-back season, a guy that really showed out his rookie year, but year two with Kobe Fleener still in the mix there in Indianapolis, a guy I call Debo, Dwayne Allen, a guy I think is going to be a main target for Andrew Luck. I was actually surprised to see them get rid of Kobe Fleener because he had that college connection with Andrew Luck, but they decided to go with Dwayne Allen. I think he's the more versatile, the more athletic guy there at the tight end position anyways. So Dwayne Allen, my stardom guy at tight end this week.
A couple players that I had on the fantasy corner, Clive Walford of Oakland against New Orleans, Kyle Rudolph against Tennessee, because you mentioned sitting Rudolph. I have Rudolph as a guy that you should start because of the fact that quarterbacks like their safety valve. Rudolph is a tight end, safety valve, there you go. Bam. Not many completions are going outside. They're probably going up the middle with given the Titans defense and the state of that defense. My start of the week, though, is Zach Ertz against Cleveland. Cleveland is not a good defense. Not at all whatsoever. I have Ertz here. Rookie's going to throw to a tight end. It's his best friend. And Ertz might also be one of the top two pass catchers on that team as a whole. So why not put him in there? Because a rookie's going to go after his tight end. He's going to target the tight end. And Cleveland's linebackers, much worse than Cleveland's secondary, I'll tell you that.
All right, now my sit-em candidate for the tight end position, a guy I really I saw big things coming last year when he made his transition over to Miami from Cleveland, a guy that really was a mainstay in Cleveland and did great things in his first two seasons there. Moves over to Miami, struggles. That's Jordan Cameron, just a guy I think that struggled a lot in the preseason this year. Again, a guy that I thought could potentially see some more time and some more production with Adam Gase coming over, obviously in a tight end-friendly offense, but just kind of disappointed so far in what I've heard. As far as what they're doing with, and when you look too, I mean, Adam Gase has historically had a nice tight end offense, but in that offense, Jordan Cameron just hasn't really lifted off yet. They don't really use the tight end position very well, and quite honestly, I'm just not a Ryan Tannehill fan, so because I'm not a Tannehill fan, and I don't think Cameron's looked comfortable so far, Jordan Cameron, my sit-em of the week for the tight end position.
I had Cameron in the fantasy corner as a sit-em on the website, but mine is going to kind of raise an eyebrow. It's Antonio Gates. And for the reasons that you said sit Phillip Rivers are the reasons I'm going to sit Antonio Gates. The Chiefs have a mighty good defense. And if you think that Rivers isn't going to get much headway on Sunday, Gates isn't going to see many targets either. And Gates is still relevant. He's still tight end one material, but Gates is no longer matchup proof. Like he used to be in the past. You started him any week, every week. You didn't care who it was.
I also think the loss of Ladarius Green doesn't actually bode well for him. I thought that Ladarius Green, he pulled away some of the guys, some of the matchups that you saw, the favorable matchups for Antonio Gates, are now going to be, you know, every defense and every coordinator on the defensive side is going to be keying on Antonio Gates, knowing that he's one of Phillip Rivers' favorite targets, always has been over the course of his career. But I think it underplayed and undervalued is the loss of Ladarius Green.
With Ladarius Green leaving for Pittsburgh and the fact that Antonio Gates is still, he's still getting up there in age. He's not getting any younger. I think that it's one of those things where he's no longer matchup proof. You play him in the right matchups. This is not one of them here against Kansas City.
So now we move on to the last selection, stardom sit-em of this week, and that's on the defensive side of the ball. The defensive units for me, a stardom, is going to be the Seattle Seahawks, a top 10 fantasy defense last season. Obviously a team that has been predicated on the defensive side of the ball. Had a nice get-go last year against the Rams with 18 points in week one. Only had double-digit points in 7 of 16 weeks last year, but I expect a little bit better of a performance from them. They are facing off against, obviously, the Miami Dolphins, which is another reason why they are my stardom choice this week. They just seem to be, as we know, Ryan Tannehill isn't probably one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and it's someone that personally I see as struggling this year. So I see the Seattle defense as being a no-brainer for a stardom this week.
My start is anytime, and this is going to be a fantasy credo for the year, unless something were to happen and Blaine Gabbert goes on steroids. Anything about if you see an offense that's starting Blaine Gabbert, find that corresponding defense and you start them this week. That is the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are already a good defense by their own right. They can get sacks. They can get picks. They can do these sorts of things on defense. They're a talented defense. But anytime you're facing Blaine Gabbert, or anytime you see a defense in the waiver wire that is going to be facing Blaine Gabbert in the San Francisco 49ers, play him. Undoubtedly, Gabbert is not good. He has never been good. He is not going to be good.
Harsh words there from D. Crames, but I would tend to agree with you, friend. My sit-em of the week, staying close to home here, going with the Baltimore defense. I just don't see them having the ability to ultimately keep Tyrod Taylor in the pocket. I think that's what teams are going to have to do to be successful against Tyrod Taylor and make him a thrower. But I think he's improved in that category. So I think a lot of defenses are going to struggle with Tyrod Taylor this year. I think they have a pretty explosive offense. But for me, week one, his homecoming, I just don't see him doing anything other than having success against this team. So my sit-em of the week is the Baltimore Ravens defense.
My sit-em is going to be a defense that, you know, it's been respectable, but now it's falling off, and it's still falling off. The trend continues downward. The Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's not just because of who they're facing in Washington. It's the fact that their secondary is apparently such a mess that they found the need to trade for 2014 first-round bust Justin Gilbert. And anytime that you need to do that, that means you kind of have a problem. And because they were probably going to cut him anyway, the Cleveland Browns were going to cut him. They found the need to sign him after inking a deal for a trade. So the fact that you need Justin Gilbert means
that should scare you.
A bit of a problem. You should be avoiding the Steelers unless you get yourself a nice matchup base.
All right, well, that about does it for this edition, this week one edition of the Waiver Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll be back week two bringing you matchups, our stardom sit-ems for week two. This edition of the Waiver Wire Fantasy Podcast, Fantasy Football Podcast, that is brought to you by Batavia Downs. Try 1 week fantasy football at FanDuel.com/34Rush. We'll be bringing you fantasy football Breakfast with the Bills style tomorrow. It'll be 7 a.m. Eastern here on WGR, so you can take a listen to that. We'll bring you everything from the world of daily fantasy sports, our starting lineups from each the Bills and Ravens side. So we'll bring you that. So stay tuned for that tomorrow right here on WGR. Thanks for listening. Again, this edition brought to you by Batavia Downs. Try 1 week fantasy football at FanDuel.com/34Rush.